to the Uncommon Career Podcast, helping you to find God's calling for your career and to land a fulfilling, well-paid, and impactful position. Join me each week for practical guidance, career motivation, and biblical insight based on Christian values. Hi, friends. Today, we're talking with Cindy Stamatis. Cindy has an absolutely amazing life story, and today she's going to talk to us about how she went from a retail position working 4 to 10 a.m. shifts and without a degree making her way all the way up to Western Regional Sales Manager at a huge and very successful toy company. She also ended up going into entrepreneurship and then was at the brink of closing her business with $30,000 in debt. But through all of this, God was there in every moment. So listen into the story about how he's used her in her career and now outside of her career to hear how God comes in with miracles at the 11th hour when there is no other explanation other than God and only God. Just like in the wilderness, God repeats his love story in Cindy's life as he has and does in yours too. So listen in and let's get started. Hey friends, thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Cindy Stamatis. Cindy, I'm so happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a student of scripture. I love teaching Bible, entrepreneur at some point, wife, 2 kids, grandma of 5 kids, incredible journey of watching God move and direct our paths in ways that we have never dreamed of.
I know when we talked, you had so many beautiful stories to share. And so what would be one of those stories that you'd want to share today?
Well, I was thinking about all this. And I was thinking about the work that you're doing here on the career podcast and trying to encourage people in their careers and what direction to go. And I loved your episode. I think it was number 4 about how you had this incredible journey. You felt like, who am I to even do this or that, and how you end up in college. And that's just kind of what I was thinking about. And so it's a story that actually starts before I knew God. And it starts when I was in like high school and I got pregnant my husband and I ended up getting married, and gosh, we were almost broken up before I even knew I was pregnant. And it was just like this weird set of circumstances. I never had expectations of going to college or having a career, ambitions of owning a home. For me, coming from a broken home with a mom who worked her tail off with 4 kids, I just didn't have expectations of anything. You know, I think when you grow up, you have expectations of what you were surrounded with. And so I was always surrounded with a mom who was fighting to make ends meet, somebody who worked super, super hard. All 4 of us always chipped in, you know, did dishes, meals, you know, the boys did the yard. And I mean, so it was just day-to-day survival, I think. I remember every Christmas always being like, hey, I don't know if there's going to be gifts this year. Of course, she always seemed to make it happen. And she was just an incredible, incredible pillar of strength. And of course, back then, none of us appreciated that. She was just, you know, mom. But so I get pregnant, and mom was my biggest cheerleader, encouraging me not to have an abortion, which is what I thought I was going to do. But because of her, I ended up keeping the baby. We ended up getting married, had a lot of difficult times, ended up 4 years later coming to know the Lord really kind of briefly and not really, really knowing him. And then I had another baby, and we never wanted to have like daycare. So I would work like in retail at like a grocery store, 3 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at 10 o'clock in the morning, so I can be home so that the kids wouldn't be babysat. And then, you know, that took me into, you know, another direction of retail. And then I thought, well, I need, you know, something else in addition to this to make a little bit more money. So then I took on, my kids were getting a little bit older, so I took on a part-time outside sales job. So I'd literally change in the bathroom at the grocery store when I got off at like, it was at 9 o'clock in the morning, changed into like a business suit and attaché case, and went off to service retail stores with a part-time sales job that involved pictures, you know, decorating pictures. And that worked out pretty good, and I was pretty good at it. Won some awards for having like some really great sales and really built up some relationship with my accounts. And then a little bit later, I just thought, well, I need a full-time, I'd like to do full-time sales job. I'd like to have a company car. I mean, these these things were weird things that I would even think about, because honestly, people like me, I mean, I remember thinking if I could get a job working for the government doing, you know, postal work or a bus driver, or, you know, I'd think that would be like the top of the heap. Like that would have been, you know, dream job, right? Because I just didn't, I know that sounds really weird, and I don't mean to disregard those jobs, because, you know, my dad ended up starting out with the school district and ended up becoming head of transportation. So I don't want to discard that, but I just didn't have any aspiration. I had no, it wasn't that I didn't have ambition. I just didn't think it was in my cards somehow. So I would just, you know, look at, I just kept looking through all the one ads. And then I ended up finding a headhunter, you know, somebody, I don't know if they even use those anymore. And she helped me to, you know, apply for different jobs. I didn't have a college degree, obviously. And she told me, it doesn't matter. Just keep applying. Just apply for everybody. You know, you just never know what's going to fall through. And so sure enough, a Fortune 500 company, a huge toy company, ended up picking up my resume. I interviewed with them. And then I did not get the job. And I didn't really expect to get the job, I guess. But I just didn't care. I just kept, you know, going forward. But then a couple of weeks later, I got a call back from that company. And the person that they did hire ended up not working out. And so they offered me the job. And it was because it was the accounts that I had already been servicing with that part-time job that really put me over the edge, because this company that was hiring me required a degree in marketing, and which of course I did not have. So anyways, I went to work for them. It fit just like a glove. I already knew my accounts. It was super easy for me to do. I was able to get home at a decent hour. You know, they gave me a company car, which was awesome. And I was able to get home early for the kids when they got home from school, because a lot of my work was done at home, where I had to input orders or make phone calls. So it was really just a dream job, to say the least. And literally, probably, I thought about you when you were talking about when you had like to deal with people in suits. And about 3 months after they hired me, I had to fly into New York to go to a national meeting. And oh my gosh, I was so nervous, because I don't have experience with it. I didn't have experience flying by myself, much less taking a cab or going to New York. And so it was just open one door at a time. And again, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. I had received the Lord as my Savior, but I was in no way walking with Him, reading scripture, focusing on Him. I wasn't even going to church. It was a prayer I said. It was, you know, I'm not really sure what it was, but I wasn't looking to Him for guidance in any way. I was just, you know, trying to muddle my way through. And so when you said something about the suits, I thought, oh my gosh. So I get to New York, I had to catch a cab. You know, people warned me on the plane, like, don't take a cab with unless you see like a real, it's official cab person.
Oh, and yes, so, yes.
Right. So guess what happens? I get in there, you know, it's dark, and some guy comes to grab my suitcases and stuff. I go, wait. And he goes, no, you need a cab, right? I go, yeah, but he goes, no, I got you. And I'm like, well my company won't pay for a cab for, like, unless you have, oh, no, I'm a limousine service. And he literally just took my stuff, and I just followed him into his,
oh my gosh,
plain unmarked car. And I was, I'm telling you, it was like the longest drive in my life from the airport to downtown New York and Manhattan.
Oh, this is in New York.
This is in Manhattan. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I'm not kidding you. I was talking like a mile an hour. Just, you know, he was telling me, oh yeah, I drive for Barbara Streisand. You know, he's like a loon. I'm going, oh my gosh, he's going to kill me.
Oh, and you're like, so where am I going?
Yeah. I was just like talking really nice and really sweet, thinking I'll just be really nice so he won't kill me. I was probably like 30 years old. So, I mean, I was just so green and so ignorant on so many different levels. And when he dropped me off at my hotel, you know, there was the bellhop guy, and I dropped my stuff at the hotel, and now I got to go find this meeting. And, you know, when you're in that kind of environment, an environment that's, you know, the real corporate world, you don't call people and say, what do I do? How do I catch a cab? Where do I go to the meeting? Like, they don't hold your hand. And I knew that this is, you know, you're a big girl now, put your big girl panties on and, you know, figure it out. So I came downstairs and I asked the bellhop, here's the address. Can you call me a cab? He goes, oh, honey, it's just around the corner. So I'm like, oh no, I have to walk down the streets of New York. And this was back in the 80s, and New York was quite a different place back then. It was very filthy, very crime driven. I was just, and we were given all kinds of notices ahead of time on how, you know, to, you know, how to act, how to hold your head, you know, all these different things. So anyway, I had to walk to this place. It was around the corner. It was very close, but I was by myself. I was new. I just didn't know. So I went, walk into the meeting, and all I see is just rows of suits. I mean, my heart was just ready to bounce out of my throat. So I sat in the very back.
Wow.
I know, exactly. And one of the things that we had, I think there was probably about 100, maybe more reps there. And they just wanted us to go one by one, stand up, say your name, and say what state you're from. That was it. And I was like in the back row. And I had so much adrenaline going through me. I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this. If you can imagine, I was just completely, just to even stand up and say my name, I thought, there's no way I can do this. And of course I did. And it's a very simple thing to do, but I was just so out of my element, right? So fast forward, by the end of that year, again, going back into my account, servicing my accounts, it was a large toy company who had a number of companies underneath of them. And anyways, I ended up winning every award for every division the following year. And I mean, I just did it naturally because I always figured, you know, when it came to sales, I figure I'm an average person. I know what the average person wants. And so I know how much to order for their Christmas season. And I really just helped break some barriers for the stores where they were able to put their trust in me, to trust me with their ordering. I was able to guide them into products that would typically go out of stock very early to order more of that one. And they were just thrilled because I helped, you know, get them through that season in a real powerful way. And so when I went to my first, you know, every year you have your yearly evaluation, and they flew us, I think we had to fly to Florida. So that was obviously intimidating. All the reps waited downstairs, and we took a hotel, you know, took the elevator up to the whatever floor. And then they had like the, I think it was the vice president and the national managers there. And oh my gosh, I thought I'm never going to survive. I'm never going to survive. How am I going to? So anyways, I go in, knock on the door. They let me in. It was my turn to have my evaluation. And they just looked at me and said, we just want to know how to clone you. Like, what is it you are doing? And it completely shocked me. So they never evaluated me and like, you're doing this right. They were just like, you're awesome. And we want more of you. How can we do this? So that was my first year. I ended up going on to winning the awards the second year. I think it was the third year. And then they ended up offering me a position to be the Western Regional Sales Manager. So now not only am I the only one in, I might have been the whole company actually, who had no degree, but also the only woman at the time, regional sales manager.
Wow. How many regional sales managers are there?
So it was eight. How many regional sales managers? I think there was under 10.
Okay, friends, isn't that absolutely amazing? When I was interviewing Cindy, I didn't want to interrupt her, but I'm going to interrupt for just a quick moment here to just summarize this amazing story that Cindy has gone on. I mean, she literally started in retail. She started in retail working 4 to 10 a.m. shifts so that her child wouldn't need to have a babysitter so that she could take care of her child. And then she ends up getting a part-time sales job where, if you didn't catch this, she changed in the bathroom of the grocery store so then she could go on and do retail sales, selling, you know, outside at different stores. She won tons of awards there, so she had the favor of God on her. She was working hard, she was diligent in what she did, and then she sought this full-time sales job. And again, she mentioned herself that this was really odd because she didn't see herself doing any position beyond something that can just barely meet the needs of a household. So she wasn't looking for anything beyond what she thought she could have. but she ended up applying for jobs. She got a job at a huge toy company with no degree, even though, check this, even though the degree was a requirement on the job description. This happened back then, and it happens all the time now as well. Now, even then, within 3 months, she's now attending national meetings in New York with high-level professionals. Events that seemed so far outside of her original plan, her ambitions, or her expectations that made her feel that she was completely out of her element. And I'm sure you caught this part too, that she went on to win every single award for every division the following year. I mean, she's really succeeding, not because she has some high-level title or some big network. She's succeeding because she's gaining trust with people, building relationships with people, and moving forward knowing that, hey, I'm a normal person. I know what other normal people need. They even asked her if they could clone her. That was really cool. After all of those awards, she was offered Western Regional Sales Manager as, again, the only woman and the only person without a degree. She gets to the highest position. It's just something I want to point out because God's stories happen everywhere, and it looks like the favor of God was on her even before she was a surrendered Christian. I think that's possible for you too, and I see that happen all the time. So look back at your life and enjoy that gratitude of knowing that God has been moving in your life too, and then consider how might he move in the future. Okay, enough about this. Let's go and continue on with the story.
And so my job consists of flying out of town every Tuesday, flying home every Friday. And yes, I had kids, but I found that I was actually home a little bit more because I wasn't on the road as much. So, and they agreed, you know, they really found favor with me, the manager I had at the time. And he says, you know, I want you to fly home early on Friday. So I was literally home Friday day, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday was what they called it. So I had 4 days home. And, you know, so I felt, okay, this is a good trade-off, and, loved the job. That following year, all of my reps then ended up winning all of the awards. I was able to like really turn some people around. Like I had some people that, you know, were anybody else probably would have fired them because they were underperforming, but just, you know, I was just not arrogant. I would get in there and get my hands dirty, get in there and work with them alongside of them, talk with them, encourage them. I had such a great working relationship with all of them. It was just really, it was a joy of my life to work for that company. And nobody was more shocked than I was to even be in the position I had. So anyways, they ended up closing our division unless I wanted to go to like New York or the East Coast. There was no way for me to stay with the company. So me and a bunch of others ended up opting for their severance pay and moving on. And then I was in a whole new dilemma because now I'm without a job and I have no degree. I have a great resume and I have all these, you know, great letters and accolades and awards. But every time I went to go interview with someone, they'd say, oh, this is, you know, awesome. This is great. You could tell that they were really loving on me. But I don't see where you went to school. And then I would have to say, well, I haven't, you know, and so I kept getting a lot of, you know, turn downs. And so it was really frustrating. I started getting really, really down. But then, you know, if you want to look at a God story in this, and I think I've talked to you about this before, now I can look back and say, oh my gosh, Lord, you did all that. Up until then, I was thinking, I'm pretty amazing. I am pretty fantastic. I did this, I did that. And later on, I'm telling you 100%, I go, that was the Lord. So he gave, I believe, all of that success so that I had this real, you know, I can do anything attitude, which caused me to, when I couldn't find a job, to say, talk to my husband who was running a mobile RV repair business at the time out of his truck. Hey, let's get a building. Let's open the doors to a business. And, you know, which was, we had a small severance pay. We had no debt. We didn't ever have credit cards. We always paid for everything. You know, I had already had a company car, so we didn't, you know, we just didn't have any debt. And, just went full force. I literally went around looking for buildings nonstop every day, driving, talking to, I didn't know anything about opening up a business. I knew absolutely nothing about opening up a business. And I just started, you know, the thought came into my mind in June because I saw a lease sign in a window. And I just started meeting with people and asking questions. And what does this mean? What does that mean? And what is this term? And, you know, just even in places I had no interest in renting, I just wanted information. I just kept learning. And, you know, that was really the time before the internet too. So I mean, now if it was, you know, today I'd be on the internet getting all that information. But back then, you know, where do you go for that kind of stuff? So I just asked a lot of questions and met with all the right people. And, you know, I carry myself, everybody's always told me, you carry yourself with such poise, you have so much charisma. I do not know where that came from. But I've heard it a lot. And so I was able to pull off this little image, I guess. And finally, this place opened up. And, you know, I went down there, I secured a lease, it was just perfect timing, because I'd learned like what to negotiate, what was, you know, like, okay, this much free rent, we need, you know, we need to have these done, all these things included. Had I not done all that homework, I never would have known even, I would have signed a lease, you know, for whatever, you know, I would have been in trouble. But anyway, so June was when the thought came into my mind. In August, I presented the keys to my husband, and he looked at me and said, "Are you kidding me?"
Wait, so you did all of it, and then you just, oh my gosh, and you just told him when it was done?
Well, he knew I was looking, but I don't think he really thought it was going to happen.
Wow. Because,
I mean, it was kind of a big, but I think, you know, the Lord really built up this, I don't know, in me, like as if I was invincible. I don't know. I just, you know, he had taken me on such a journey working for this huge company. I, you know, was so successful in that little division. And I just, it was like, yeah, we can do this. And it was interesting because doors just blew open. I had to meet with vendors about getting, you know, it was like a, I don't know, 13,000 square foot building. And I think 5,000 or more was a storefront. So I had to get brand new fixtures and shelving and pegs and, you know, just everything. I had a card table set up where I met with vendors. I had to basically give the impression that we were a real business so that they would extend us credit, so that they would agree to allow us to order product from them. And anyways, it was really effortless. Like, you talk about having the wind in your back. God, again, now I look back and I see, yep, he just kept opening these doors and opening these doors. And we just kept going through them and through them until one day the reality of what we had done really came into focus when we had no money, we had no payroll, and everything was on the line. Like, it was just this real, like, never even thought about it before. Like, our home, our everything. It was just like, oh my gosh, what have we done? And it was sobering. And so those are the things. Those are the God moments. Those are the things that cause you to go, where do I go? You know, and of course, we did go to family and secured some money from them. And we went to credit cards and secured money from them. I think all in all, back then, our debt was a total of $30,000, which felt like $300,000, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Right. And those were all done in credit cards. And, you know, we borrowed money from my dad. We borrowed money from Pete's mom. And, you know, I think it was like $10,000 from each of them. And that was the worst thing in the world, because we never asked for money ever. We were debt free our whole lives. We, both of us, were brought up with people who worked really hard. His dad was severely handicapped, but he never collected disability ever. And he was a super hard worker, lived in a very conservative home, raised his family. And then my mom, you know, four kids. Her dad, you know, an Irish immigrant, like, you don't get on the dole, you don't take, you know, welfare. And so it was just never even an option, right? Unemployment, all of those things back then were considered like, you would never do that. This is a hardworking family. We pride ourselves working really hard. So even having to go to a family member and to ask to borrow money was the most difficult thing in the world. And that just got us further into debt. And then we had, you know, we put an application out for all these credit cards, because we didn't have really any credit cards before. So we had fantastic credit, but that fantastic credit went to junk really, really fast when I was late one time on every single card. And, I never had bad credit. I didn't even know how all that worked. And sure enough, we couldn't even get a loan for the bank at that point because our credit was so bad. And they didn't understand because they said, your credit was so good. What happened? I said, I was just like, once. They said, yeah, but by 10 times. Like, you can't do that, you know. And then I remember one time I went to the bank to write a check or something, get some cash. And they said, well, your accounts have been levied. I go, what does that mean? I don't even know these terms. And they meant, no, the government took all your money out because you were back on your sales tax. And so it was just all these firsts. It was one thing after another thing after another thing. And it was just astronomical. And they just kept coming. And it was like you'd fight one battle and go to the next battle and go to the... And all of it was just juggling. You know, you hear that term in business, but I truly understood for the first time what that really means to juggle like your finances. But in that, God was in that. And so in that is when I'm like, I need to find God. Because I had heard about him, right? Back when I was 20 years old, but I didn't really know him. And so now I need to know him. I need to see if he is really who he said. I need to know that somebody has their hand on this mess. I don't know. It was like a desperation. And so I went from church to church to church with my arms folded. I was irritated with most of what I heard because it sounded to me like a great meeting, like I used to go to when I used to work for the toy company, motivational speakers or whatever. I just need to know Jesus. I need to hear about Jesus. And my kids would even look at me and say, you should see the look on your face, Mom.
What do you mean the look on your face?
Because I had my arms folded as I was listening to them talk and I was irritated.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were talking like I would listen, like if I went to a meeting, right, where somebody was trying to motivate you. Like I really wanted to know, but I didn't feel like they were really, really giving me that. And finally, we did find a place and we did, get that knowledge we were looking for and went head force, right, with our whole family into church and really set my mind to seek him. And like I was hunting through his word. I was sitting in bed reading Proverbs, talking about the fool and just crying, I do not want to be a fool, Lord. I'm a fool. Like, give me wisdom.
Wow.
And I look back now and I really could just see God just smiling and saying, okay, now you're ready.
Oh my goodness. Did you like, and at that point, you probably didn't know yet that that was a turning point.
No, I did not. There was lots of, as you and I were talking about, God moments, lots of 11th hour, lots of miracles that, coming to the very end, there was no more money to be borrowed from anybody. There was no more credit cards to take out. There was no nothing. It was only God. There was only God. And that's terrifying. But isn't that what he did in the desert? Like, why did he take them through the desert? Why did he get them to a place where they were so thirsty? They were like dying of thirst. Like they were so hungry. They were just begging for food. And you think, why, Lord? Why did you wait for them to get to that point? Like you knew, their bodies, they're hungry. Like you brought them out there. Why wouldn't you feed them?
And so as someone who lived through that Israelite kind of experience, like what would be your response to someone who's in that situation now?
That is how God, our lives are meant to glorify God. So he needs to show us where our hope is from, who feeds us, who provides for us. We need to find out that he is our everything. And so when we say that prayer, it says in scripture that if you believe on me, we have everlasting life. But if you translate that word believe, it's trust. So believe is one thing. Oh, I believe, right? Even Satan believes in Jesus, right? Because he sees him. Lots of people believe in Jesus. But how many people really put their trust?
Yeah.
Right? At some point, you have to put your trust in them. But how do you put your trust in someone you really don't know? Right? I know it's an act of faith. And of course, we're told to do it in faith. But the Lord is so good that he doesn't just say, no, just do it in faith. He gives us wilderness experiences. He gives us a place to where we get to the end of ourselves, to where we're screaming out for food and hunger because we have no more resources left. There is no place else to go but him. And then now he says, okay, now I'll give it to you so you know absolutely where it came from. You know 1,000% where it came from. And so then what happens is your faith increases.
So what did that look like for you? Like, what did those moments, because you mentioned there were several moments of the 11th hour. How did that play out?
So I'll give you terrible examples, things that if my husband was sitting here, he would because, you know, some things bring back memories, and you almost like go into this, like your body just clams. That's what happens with him because it was such terrible memories. But for me, I look at it as like, I look at it in rejoicing now, because I'm like, how God used those things to teach us about him. But one example was, I told you that things just start kind of firing at us, right? And it was almost like if you ever played Asteroids, where they start coming at you faster and faster and faster. Well, that's where we were at. Landlord had given us a 3-day or quit. What that means is if you need to come up with rent, or you have 3 days to be out, which honestly, we didn't even know how that would look. Our doors would be locked. They would lock the doors in 3 days.
And was that your only source of income at the time?
It was our only source.
Oh my goodness. 3 days to the end of your income. Okay.
And how do you even get out? Like, we have, you know, you have motorhomes in there that we're fixing. We have products in there. Like, I don't even know what that looks like. Obviously, we didn't even know what we were doing to begin with. It was God that was doing it all. So we had that. Then the other thing that we were struggling with was sales tax. So, you know, we had to accumulate the sales tax every month and pay that off. So that would come into like, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 at the time. And they sent us, I don't remember what they called it, but they sent an officer in. And again, we had 3 days. That's weird that they're both 3 days, but we had 3 days. And so he would sit in there, and he was, we weren't allowed to accept any checks or any credit cards, which, you know, a lot of our customers use checks and credit cards.
Oh yeah. Who brings in cash to buy an RV, you know?
Right. And while he was in there, he would take inventory, because basically they were going to take it out of our inventory if we didn't come up with the cash. And then he would empty our cash register every night before he left. Every penny, every nickel, every dime was taken out of the cash register. And in 3 days, if we did not have the $3,000, then they would lock the doors, and they would basically take the money out of the inventory. So Pete wouldn't even let me come in, because it was just, you know, we were both so done. He says, no, you stay home, I'll deal with it. And we really thought, this is it. And at the end of 3 days, $3,000 came in, the amount of money we needed. And the officer found favor with us. He walked around the store and acted like he was a customer. He left us a little bit of cash in the register so that we, you know, weren't completely out. He was really kind. You know, God causes people to find favor with you in the midst of it. At the same time, I think all within the same month, maybe, our house, you know, we kept getting those phone calls, you know, where you work out all those deals. Oh, we'll put it on the end of the payment. Oh, we'll do this. Oh, you know, we kept fighting, you know, a little bit more, you know, trying to work all the different things to, you know, with this new house payment. And then that kept happening. Well, now we were at the end of that journey, and now they sent the hardcore people out. Cause back then too, those phone call people were allowed to be aggressive and really forceful with you. Even the state board, they were allowed, there was a law passed later on this, and they couldn't do that, but they would literally yell at you and intimidate you. And it was just so awful. So anyways, that's kind of where we were at the house payment. And she had called and said, that's it. You're going into foreclosure. Unless you have the money by, you know, tomorrow, whatever, you're done. And I remember a friend of ours, you know, God sent us people in our lives who would lead us in not even so much prayer as much as wisdom. Cindy, make sure you answer the phones. I can't answer the phones. I have no money. What am I going to tell them? You answer the phones and you pray and you ask the Lord to give them favor for you.
Wow.
So just answer the phone. Okay. You know, and so many times that's exactly what happened. And so in this particular time, you know, I prayed while I was on the phone, and the gal had favor with us. And she said, you know what? She went from this really gruff, aggressive voice and said, you know what? Let me just try something. Which was so out of character for this gal, because she'd been so nasty to us. And she called me at like 7 o'clock in the morning the next day and said, I'm so sorry to call you early, but I knew you'd want to know. They are going to take all your past payments and they're going to put it on the end of your loan, so they are not going to foreclose. And it was like, what the heck? And so that probably, all of those three incidences probably happened all maybe in weeks, but for sure within the month. And those were things that we had been dealing with on and off through the whole, you know, from the time that things started, you know, really going south. And so we kept seeing the Lord in all these things. And you, at, when that happens, what really goes through your mind is, Lord, you heard that? Like, I mean, I really am so happy that you answered that prayer. But more than that, you see me, you heard me. And so it just is, it's just like surreal. And so it builds your trust. So, you know, when you have a friend or if you get married, as you know, part of that relationship is you don't just all of a sudden give your husband all your trust. You don't all of a sudden give your new friend all your trust, right? It has to happen over, they have to earn your trust, right? And so when we say, oh, I believe in you, you know, Jesus, I put my trust in you, really, we don't. Because we don't really know who he is yet. And so he, those are opportunities for him to say, well, let me show you. And that's what he did in Israel, right? Let me show you who I am. I will show you that I am the great I am. I will show you that I am your provider. I will show you that I am healer. I will show you that I see. I will show you that I hear. I will show you these things. Yes, it's a walk of faith because you have to believe that it is. But he gives you reasons to believe, right? And so when you walk that over a long stretch of time and like, you know, that journey was long and I have tons of God stories. Another prominent God story that happened probably years later is when things were finally, you know, things were finally moving, things were money, you have money in the bank, things are looking a little bit more positive. Things were headed in a really good direction. My husband ended up getting sick with stage 4. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And that's a, you know, subject for another day, but we chose to treat him alternatively. That was 10 years ago. And part of that
alternatively, you mean without no chemo and stuff?
Yeah, no chemo, no radiation. So his prognosis was that he was going to die. His prognosis was that we cannot cure him, but we can give him palliative care. His particular kind of, because not all non-Hodgkin's lymphomas are not all the same, but his particular kind, that was what they had, that was his prognosis, and that they would treat it with, you know, first chemo, then radiation, then stem cell, and just all these, you know, different things. So anyways, we went full force into an alternative way of treating his cancer. And 10 years later, he's never lived as a cancer patient. And he's, you know, he's not, I would not say he's cancer free. But he's alive and he's healthy. He, you know, has energy. But during that time, we had to keep him at home. And so I had to basically take over at the shop, which is fine for the front because I did all the retail stuff and that's second nature to me. But the back where all the guys did all the repairs, obviously, I mean, I know nothing about that. And things started falling apart really quickly. So at one point, I missed payroll and I couldn't give them their money for like a day or two, and it was horrible having to go to them and telling them that.
Gosh, that's difficult. Yeah.
It was terrible. But they were very kind and understanding, you know, knowing Pete was sick and all that. But they have their bills and they have their, you know, struggles. And so in 2 weeks later, we had payroll again, and I'm driving to work and I'm like, Lord, we have no money. It's payroll. I have nothing to give them. Lord, if you're shedding this business, Lord, I don't even know how we opened it. I don't know how to shed it. I don't even know what the next move is. And I'm fine with shedding it. I just don't know what it looks like or how we do it. Can you help me with that? And then I just heard this voice interrupt my prayer and I'm driving on the freeway and it says, it will be fine. And I was like, Lord, if that was you, I have payroll due today and I have no money. And it says in your word to give their workers their due. And I don't have any money. So I just pulled up to work. I checked the mailbox. And in the mailbox was like an $18,000 cashier's check. Now, if it was a regular check, I still would not have been able to make payroll because you cannot just cash a regular check, right? But it was a cashier's check. And at least back then, they would accept that as if I just deposited cash. And so I went to our warranty manager. I said, where'd this come from? He said,
you don't get $18,000 cashier's check every day?
Yeah. So he said, Let me, because I knew, it was from somebody. So he said, let me check in. So what had happened is there was a company that had brought some stuff in for an estimate. And what usually happens is you get an estimate, then you sign an agreement that you're going to do it, then you give us a deposit and you bring your RV in or whatever it is that we're fixing. And none of that. They hadn't even, we gave them an estimate, but they never called and said, yeah, we're going to do it. They never brought anything in. And they gave us the full amount.
Wow.
On so the day that I needed.
They skipped some steps.
They skipped every step. And they gave me a cashier's check on the day that I needed it.
Which from what I understand, most folks will not send a cashier's check in the mail because anybody can cash it. Isn't that right?
That's true too. I mean, there's just so many. It just boggles the mind. It just absolutely boggles the mind.
So what was your reaction? Like you open the check and you realize it's $18,000.
I was in complete shock. I was dancing around our gentleman at the time who I'd been trying to talk to him about God and stuff. I was just showing him like, this is God. This is, we had prayed and this is how, and it was just, he just shows up. He just shows up. I mean, even when my husband got cancer and I was told, that he wasn't going to live very long, I was almost unfunctional. I mean, I would always look and run away to find some place to go sit down and cry. And I just was in disbelief that this was actually happening. One day I was on my knees and I was crying and praying and the Lord interrupted my prayer and said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I just literally sat up and I'm like, I knew in that minute what that meant was if he dies, you will be able to endure this. You will be able to stand up underneath of this. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I will never, the Lord's not saying that, but I'm saying I don't know what it's going to look like, but the Lord's telling me he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that he will get me through that. And I said, okay, Lord, but then you need to shut my mind to all the attacks because my mind, if you've ever been through something like this, it just attacks you. It attacks you with all of the, you start planning funerals and pallbearers and it just won't stop. Like your mind literally just goes to all those dark places. It's almost like the enemy is just taunting you with it. And I said, Lord, please shut that in my mind. And do you know, to this day, it's been shut. To this day, I always remember that he has cancer, but I never, ever dwell on it anymore.
Yeah, that's God. I mean, he will transform your mind in so many ways. And just, everything that you've shared in your story, you can see like this red thread throughout. This, like you said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's there throughout. Even in the beginning when you're like, you were saying, oh, I thought I was really good, but it was God the entire time. Like when you look back and you see what he's done with the, I think you said it was a Forbes 500 company. Yeah. What he's done there before you were fully and 100% committed to him. And then what he's done after, like, how would you summarize that for someone who's just starting in their career? Because God's really helped you in business and in career in a space where many people think that God isn't there. They think that God is there on Sundays and during your devotional in the morning, right? So like, what would you tell to someone who's really just holding him to that Sunday?
Yeah, so for sure, I didn't know him right when all these things were happening. And then I learned who he is. So now fast forward, what I've learned, because, I've learned some pretty powerful lessons about God, and my faith is really dug in ways that maybe a lot of people haven't had dug in because they haven't had all of those experiences. I don't know why I've had all those experiences. Sometimes it's, and they continue to happen. It just boggles the mind, really. But it says in scripture that, God created us that we might glorify him. Right. So I know I'm glorifying him when I'm talking about all these stories and how he intervened and how he really does see and how he really does hear and how he really does care, even when things don't always go the way we want. I mean, I can tell you those times at the business, my husband does not look on those times as being good at all. I mean, his, you had that one episode about how the body remembers. He is like PTSD from that. But what we gained in the knowledge of God is far more superior. Even if, and I have said this to the Lord in prayer, even if you were to take everything away, if we were, because we ended up at one point, the business started finally doing, you know, pretty good to where we need to make an investment. And we built a, you know, a nice custom home, and people would say, oh my gosh, you deserve this. And I'm like, we didn't deserve this. I said, we absolutely did not deserve this. Like, I never even, is this your dream? No, who could dream this? I couldn't dream this. We never had dreams of any of this. And so if he were to take it, you know, we know, all of us know right now that the economy is in a very unusual situation, like to say the least. We may very well be in the last days. We may be without cars or energy, or we may be at war. Like, there's so many things that nobody really wants to talk about, all that stuff, to get all, you know, down on everything. But the reality is, everything's on the table. I don't care if you get your dream job. Everything's on the table right now. But at the end of the day, if all of it disappears, I'm going to cry big. I'm going to cry big crocodile tears. And the Lord knows that. But I will still praise him, because everything that I have, everything that we've gone through is his, and he provided it. And if he chooses to, you know, if it goes away, it's not like he all of a sudden go, oh, I forgot about you over there. Sorry about that. He knows all of that. And maybe all of those things actually was preparing us for what's going to happen tomorrow. Everything that happens has a purpose in ways that you don't think of. Like, I've given up trying to figure out things because he's allowed things into my life. So there was another thing that happened career-wise. At some point when we were in the business, Pete and I, you know, it's hard to work with your spouse, and I was frustrated with a few things. And I finally says, you know what, you do, I needed, because I was running it, right? And I didn't think that was honoring to God. I thought, you know, I need to give it all to him. I need to let him make all the decisions, and I need to back out. Because, you know, my corporate days kind of, you know, can get the best of you, right? So I went to school. I decided, you know what, go to school, because, you know, you might need a job, because who knows what's going to happen with this business. And so I went to school and ended up getting into photography, fell in love with it, and decided to open up a photography business, like literally just like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I opened up a wedding photography business. I started out by dragging bags behind some very prominent photographers that God brought into my life through a series of events. And I ended up doing really well with it. I became a little bit higher end photographer. I won some international awards. It, you know, did a great job with paying extra bills when times were tough. So it helped with all that. But my point to that is, not one of these things was on my agenda. Not one. Mm. Not the baby, not the marriage, not the successful marriage. We've been married now, we'll be 44 years in April.
Congratulations.
Not this amazing home, not having a business, not having a career with a company car and flying all over by myself. I mean, none of those things. I couldn't have imagined them. And I know that that does contrast. You know, we should have goals. We should set things in place. And I think you should. But I also think you need to have your hands open, and because God has things available for us that we can't even think or imagine. I would tell people to just take steps and see the doors that he opens. Because when he opens it, it seems to me, at least in my experience, that it's really obvious that they're open. Mm-hmm. It's not like pushing them open. It's not to say that you're not going to have problems, because you will have problems. But when you have the problems, it's almost like the problems are remedied with his power and not yours.
And as you're talking, I mean, it just, I know other parts of your story, of course, because we chatted earlier. So how do you see, like, the ministry start to intertwine? Because, of course, we've got our first passion, or I'm sorry, our first calling. We've got our first calling, that is to live in obedience to Christ and to just follow him and be surrendered to him. But then there's that second calling, which is a career where you've had all these God stories. But how does this intertwine to the ministry set of things that I know you go on to in the future?
Well, there's the moment that he interrupted me again during the photography business. I was, when you're talking about ministry, because I was like such a student of God's word, because I was just like, I was just looking at scriptures. Like, I needed to know. Like, that is all I can say, is I just needed to know. And I was literally hammering the scriptures, wanting to know everything about him. Like I wanted to, you know, if it was disproved, if, you know, when Mormons came to my door, like I would, then I would research, I'd buy the Book of Mormon and I really wanted to know. Well, so what that ended up doing in me was giving me a position where I could teach other people scriptures, because a lot of like women's studies from my experience at our church was, we tend to do a lot of these topical studies and these book studies. And I found myself frustrated because I'm like, somebody's got to just teach Bible. Like we need to just teach, like so many people don't know their Bible. They know they can quote verses out of a Beth Moore book, but they don't know the Bible. And so the Lord gave me a passion and opened a door for me to teach scripture. So I would pick a book, you know, we're going to do Romans, or we're going to do Isaiah, or we're going to do Samuel. And I would do a whole season of each one of these books. And then I got asked to do like an evening class. So because people who worked couldn't get to it. And so I found my photography business, which was so satisfying and so exciting. All of a sudden, it just didn't feel so satisfying and so exciting. And when I got calls for a new job, it was more like, ugh, where I had to edit. And I was like, ugh. And I thought, Lord, are you removing this from me right now? Or are you pulling me away from this right now? And I just prayed, and I had the sense that he was, because it was almost like it was interfering with, I was mentoring women. I was, teaching Bible studies. My husband was pretty involved in the church. We had couples come to the house and we did studies with the couples. And so that became my love. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, well, we've gotten kind of used to this extra income, but you have provided everything that we have. I mean, there's no denying that everything we have is because you provided it. So, okay. And so I turned that website off. I remember the day I turned it off. I was like, okay, but you know what? He certainly did. I don't remember ever having a difference in, I just didn't even notice it, but that was what his call was. So he used all those things. So then I could pour into other people and teach scripture, not as one who is teaching knowledge, but teaching scripture is like, do you see this? Do you get this? Like, this is amazing. he is amazing.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. And you did that for a while?
I did that for a long time. Yeah.
Do you think you used some of the skills that you learned over your previous careers when you started working with people and teaching the Bible?
Yeah. So, you know, from that day where I couldn't stand up and give my name,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Full circle.
Full circle. I mean, in that job, I ended up having meetings for district managers. I had to do, some speaking stuff. And then fast forward to the things that were going on in the church. I was, a little intimidated at first, but gosh, I got to where I could speak very easily and teach very easily. Mm-hmm. And I know that all of that came from that, from that environment.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, he uses everything. Like he truly uses everything. And so if somebody's out there and they're like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what job. I don't know. You know, what is the desires of your heart? What is the desires that the Lord's put on your heart? Maybe start there. And it may, obviously I was working in retail, and retail gave me an experience to go this direction, right? And I think a lot of people, they graduate from college, and if they don't get their dream job, they feel like, oh, well, I'll have to work at Starbucks until that comes through.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you need to start getting your feet wet. You need to start getting experience, because I can tell you, as one who used to hire, that was also my position with that company, was I'd have to interview people. And I would literally fly into a city. I'd be in a hotel room. The company had probably like 200 applications for every opening we had. They would narrow that down to about, I think, 10 or 15 people. And I would have maybe, they would come into my room. They'd all have appointment times. And I had maybe, 15 half hour to sit and get to know them and make a decision, like in that little short period of time.
Wow.
Of whether or not I was going to hire them or not. And so you have to really get to know, people and get a feel for them. It's just remarkable. It's just, I can't even as I'm telling you these stories.
Yeah.
Only God. And so that's what I was going to say. So when you're interviewing people, one of the things I would find is if people were changing jobs quite frequently, mm-hmm. I was not, because I only had a short period of time, right? I would always ask them, tell me about your last employer. What happened? Or what is it that you hated the most? What is it that you love the most? Well, when they started talking about things they hated the most, if they started, usually that opened up a door for them saying, oh, I had this manager. And so that was a good one. You won't ever badmouth your previous employer.
Yeah.
And you know, so, but what is your, what is, what, so that piece of paper that has your experience on it, that's, that tells everything. It tells a lot about who you are, and it, and you have lots of things to add to your repertoire, right?
Yeah.
We had people working for us, and they would come to us and say, you know, I remember one guy in tears, and I have to get, you know, I got an offer for this company, and I hate to leave you. You guys have did so much for me. And I'm like, no, I said, you chose to learn. We offered it to you, like we trained you, but you are the one who chose to learn it. You, what you did with it has allowed you to progress, and we applaud you for that.
Yeah.
You know, that you're not ours. God will replace you. You know, we tell them. And so that's what I tell people, like, what are you building? Are you just hoping for a good job? Are you just hoping that you get your dream job? Or are you, what are you doing in the midst of that? And even the ministry can be on an application of experience. Like, you just need experience. Mostly you need experience with people.
Yes. And I tell folks that all the time, even if you're changing industries, guess what? People still work there. And so all the experience that you have, you can take over into that position. Wow. You have so much wisdom. And I mean, it makes sense. You prayed for it, right? And so that's where it comes from. But you have so much wisdom having gone through different positions in different scenarios, having experienced the hand of God, both as you know, when you prayed for it, but also recognizing it when you didn't pray for it and, you know, moving past that moment of, oh, it's me, I'm so great, and recognizing, oh no, this was the hand of God. And so what sort of piece of wisdom do you think the Lord's calling you to share with folks today before we wrap up?
I would say that you need to have your hands open. And I hear so many people talk about like where they're going to go for their job and, oh, I'm going to do this job and I'm going to glorify God and I'm going to do that. And it's in it. But really, that's not what you're saying. You're saying that you're going to go and satisfy you. And I know that's hard, you know, especially for younger people to say, well, I don't know what else to do. But I think give God permission to interrupt your plans. You know, when you have a job come around and you're praying for it, as you know, of course you are. Also in your heart, you know, because God knows your heart. So in your heart, think about it and say, okay, if God says no to this job that I really, really want, or this line of work that I really see myself doing, if he says no to that because he knows better, he, not because he's trying to hurt you, but because he has something else planned for you, are you okay with that? And then tell the Lord, I'm okay with that. I want you to interrupt my plans. I trust you because really, I don't want to go any place without you. I don't want to go any place where you're not leading me, because that's a difficult journey. That right there is a difficult journey. So think about not how you're going to go work and glorify God, right? But that your life will glorify him automatically when you're working in the work that he's prepared for you.
That's so good. Staying surrendered. I just really love how you said, let God interrupt your plans. I just love that.
I mean, I literally have prayed things where I would think about it, like in my heart, right? I would give it to my heart and give Lord permission. And then I would weep because I'm like, oh, but yes, even that, Lord, you know, like even building this house, Lord, if we're pushing ahead, if we're not doing, you know, if this is not what you've called us to do, if we're just going to get ourselves in more trouble, I give you permission. You know, and the plans are all done, the ground's all broken, everything's ready to go. And then literally it kind of stops you in your tracks because you think to yourself, really, are you really going to be okay with it if we just put a kibosh on this right now? And I had to really think about it because, you know, your heart, right? And like, and I would just sit there and tears would come down my face and I would think, yes, yes, Lord, because I trust you. I don't trust me. I don't trust anything that I do. I only trust you.
Wow. This has been such a good conversation, Cindy. Thank you so much for just sharing your wisdom, sharing your stories, encouraging people who are considering career changes and just looking for ways that God is moving in their career. I just want to thank you for coming on board. It's been a really good time.
It's an honor that you even asked me. I enjoy you. I enjoy your shows. I love what you're doing. I think this is such a great avenue for so many people, and especially in the environment that we're in today. So I just pray for God's continued blessing on all the work that you're doing. And I love that you have open hands to go in whatever way he calls you. So good for you.
Oh, thank you so much. But the pleasure is really mine. And I'm just grateful to God that I can get on to, you know, this little podcast and talk to you and share the stories of God, and that he can multiply it so other people can hear these stories and be encouraged too. So again, thank you so much for being on the show. And my friends, if you sat here with us and were part of this conversation, a part of this coffee time, then I encourage you to head over to the Uncommon Career Podcast, the show page, and rate and review and let us know that Cindy was the one who did it for you. She's the one that opened up your eyes to this opportunity of your very own career God story. I would love to hear your story. And when you rate and review, it also helps other people to find the podcast. All right, my friends, that's all I have for you today. I love you. I'm praying for you, and I'll see you on the next one. Hey, friend, thanks for listening. You're now done with the first step towards becoming a part of the Uncommon Career Community. And that was to listen to this podcast. So, woohoo! Congratulations. Your next step is to head over to theuncommoncareer.com and request the Bible-based Mindset Fix. This is a simple resource to literally transform your mindset with scripture so that you can bust through all those mental messages. I'm talking about those lifelong lies that make so many Christians like you and I completely ineffective in our calling. I used this when insecurity and negative mindsets were really getting me down and stopping me from taking that leap of faith that I knew God was calling me to. This works so well for me every single time, and I know it's going to work for you too. So again, before you forget, head over to theuncommoncareer.com or simply click on the link in the description, grab your Bible-based mindset fix, and I'll see you there.